Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let's start with Antonio Brown. This is a game of chicken. That's what it is. Who will blink first, the Steelers or Antonio Brown? He's made it clear, dude, I ain't going to Buffalo. No thanks. He has come out and stated he wants to go to San Francisco. They're not even mentioned as a possible trade partner. And as the possible trade partners, maybe Green Bay, maybe the Raiders, maybe. The problem becomes, like, what are you willing to give up for a dude who might not show up? And if he shows up, he might not be invested or even continue to show up if you don't give him a guaranteed contract, because his contract is not guaranteed. So this is the game of chicken, right? Because what can happen, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you can go like, hey, you know what, dude? How about we don't trade you at all? We make you show up. And if you don't show up, then we'll just fine you. This is the game of chicken. That's what it is. The game of chicken is whoever blinks first loses. And this is a far more safe game of chicken than the old, I'm going to stand in front of what potentially is a train, right? The train's coming my way, and when do I hop off the tracks? And if I hop off the tracks too late, then I get splattered by the train. Or the two cars driving in the same direction. That is a scary game of chicken, which no one should ever play. This is professional game of chicken. Who's going to blink first? And I don't mean Shaq and Trae Young on the set of Turner. You sit there and you stare down your former employer and you're like, hey, I'm picking where I want to go. And the Pittsburgh Steelers is like, no, we're going to take the best possible offer. And he just says, well, look, I won't show up. The problem with that is Steelers do hold the cards. They can make you show up at work, and they would owe you money. This is kind of similar to the Le'Veon Bell thing, only it would hurt them in the cap if they held on to him. But it's going to hurt them in the cap if they get rid of him as well. So this is fascinating to see what happens with a guy who is trying to strong arm his way to the best possible landing spot. And this is a major problem for the NFL. What do you mean you're not going to show up? We talked about this before, that Calvin Johnson, for example, retired because he had so much money in the bank, he feared for the rest of his life and his general body's safety, so he could walk away. This is the other side to it, where a guy has enough money in the bank, at least by his own estimation, where he can walk away unless he gets what he wants. And he's made himself into a free agent. But you got to be careful what you wish for. Right? It reminds me in many ways of the NFL. This is going back years ago. They had an uncapped year. Are you guys aware of that? Like, people decry the salary cap as a wage suppression. And I'm like, man, this suppresses our wages. So they had a year with no salary cap, no ceiling. Teams could have spent anything they wanted. Do you know what happened? Teams spent less than they ever had before. With no ceiling, there's also no floor. There was no baseline that teams had to spend. That's part of the magic to the salary cap. That's part of why deals get done before the new league year starts here in March, the middle of March. If you have money and you're underneath the salary cap, you have to spend a certain amount. And so if teams didn't spend it during last football season, they spend it here and rework guys' deals and spend a bunch of money because they have to spend a certain amount of the cap. You simply can't go on the cheap. You can't do what baseball does, where you don't have to pay anybody. And then you get the benefits of whoever is in the luxury tax and you actually have them pay you. That's not the way it works in the NFL. The way it works in the NFL is, you have a hard cap, but you also have a hard floor, and you got to spend above that floor. And so while Antonio Brown is playing this game of chicken like, hey, dude, I ain't going to Buffalo. I'm not a dummy. Josh Allen couldn't hit the broad side of the barn if he was standing right next to the door. I'm not going to play in that cold. That's football, Siberia. That is death to me. No, thank you. Like, all right, I kind of see it. On the other hand, Pittsburgh holds the card. They can continue to try and trade him. No one's going to want to trade for him. And maybe, I guess maybe, they could, I guess, could cut him, but they could also just hold on to his rights and make him show up at work. And if he doesn't show up at work, fine him. Fine him. And if he doesn't behave properly while he's playing, they could continue to fine him. And they could suspend him. And they could suspend him without pay. There are ramifications for your actions. Strong arming a team that owns your rights into trading you to the city that you want to be traded in sounds really good. But there is a law of unintended consequences. And that unintended consequence could be maybe they hold on to you. Maybe you got to show up at work. Maybe they're going to make you quit. Maybe they're going to Marcus Allen your ass and not play you. There is a downside to what to the philosophy that Antonio Brown is following. And the idea of not committing to one place, like, do we think all NFL people are stupid? That we want to overpay for a wide receiver who's 31 years old who might or might not show up to work? Like, you might get somebody. I've said the Raiders did seem like a good partner, but what are the Raiders going to pay? And do the Pittsburgh Steelers want to give them away considering the cap hit they're going to take? If you negotiate out of spite, don't be surprised if the spite comes right back at you. So the whole thing to me is absolutely fascinating, and it becomes that kind of game of chicken. Who's going to blink first? Is it Antonio Brown or is it the Pittsburgh Steelers? And that's an answer to a question we just don't know.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
A lot of NBA talk as well, where LeBron is not officially on a minutes restriction. He's on the unofficial minutes restriction. Did you guys hear that earlier today? LeBron is not on an official minutes restriction. Unofficial. So, like, look, we're getting our ass kicked. He's going to sit because do you want to pay him when you're down 20? Really? Like, is that what you want to do? So it's an unofficial minutes restriction. Now, Lonzo Ball may not come back, so he's ready for the offseason, which this is actually legit because Lonzo has not had a true offseason, and they do believe in him. He has to continue to fix and evolve his shot, but he hasn't had the time to do so. He has to become a better finisher, but he hasn't had an NBA offseason. But the Lakers are clearly waving the white flag. And it's pretty telling. I was trying to think, Ramos, do you think this is more Ishtar or Waterworld or more Batman and Robin in terms of, and here's why I think it's more Batman and Robin.
Three great movies, by the way.
Three awful trash movies. The reason I think it's Batman and Robin is, It's a franchise, right? And the franchise has been remade over several times over. And oh yeah, by the way, Christopher Nolan picked up the mess that was Batman and Robin and started Batman Begins, remade the whole series, and those are among my favorite movies ever made, right? And so Batman Begins is awesome, just a great flick, great storytelling by Christopher Nolan. But we forget what a disaster Batman and Robin was. Chris O'Donnell and
Alicia Silverstone.
Also, wasn't Arnold Schwarzenegger Mr. Freeze?
He was Mr. Freeze, yes.
Right? I mean, that was a dog poop movie. Right? That was crap. That was pure crap. And look, and had Clooney was Batman.
Yes.
Right? Like, so you have like Alicia Silverstone, peak of her power, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you have Chris O'Donnell, who's been in some good movies, and you got Clooney, and the movie sucked. And that movie was a little bit like, it was a little bit more like Shaq and Kobe at the end where they added in Karl Malone and they added in Gary Payton and it didn't work. But it works for this as well, right? Like, you can have pieces, but not have a good movie. That one had some pieces, terrible movie, and it's a franchise. My question is, how did they get to this point to Christopher Nolan?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Let me ask you, Beyer, if you have a second. I'm fascinated by the Michael Bennett thing, that the Patriots, who have so badly needed pass rushing help, went out and got Michael Bennett. And I think Bennett wants to have his deal redone, if I remember. But that's not the team. Not usually the team to get your deal redone is the New England Patriots in terms of really making a killing money wise. But it still should be interesting. But they were going to cut him, right? That was the talk. He wanted a raise, and they wanted to cut him, and now he's dealt to the Patriots. And so what happens then becomes super interesting.
He's had a really good season in 2018. You may not have realized it, but he was really good for the Philadelphia Eagles. And remember, Martellus Bennett, his brother, played in New England for a while, so he knows what it's like there. I think that Michael Bennett will actually fit in pretty well with the Patriots as long as this play doesn't, drop off. Yeah, the question is the money issue, right, which is up in the air. But I think New England's actually a pretty good fit for him after a season that, he was really good in Seattle. He was great in Seattle. That's an understatement. He was
nine
great.
By the way, last year, 9 sacks, 30 quarterback hits, 2 forced fumbles, 35 tackles, 15 for loss. So it's basically absorbing that contract because the Eagles they want to spread that money around. And so it's interesting. Like, the Patriots are somebody that spreads money around. And they can absorb that contract or maybe rework it. Is there other options?
And remember, they didn't re-sign Trey Flowers, they could have used the franchise tag on him, did not want to do so. He's going to make more. He's going to be one of the top targets once free agency begins. So maybe this is just a cheaper short-term fill-in for the possible Trey Flowers absence in New England.
I mean, this is an interesting time of the year, and one of the things that's always been told to me about the Patriots is that Patriots are not great at drafting. But what they are really good at is assessing people who get cut, right? Like, they do a great job of the waiver. They're the best waiver wire team in the NFL, and while Michael Bennett technically was not cut, he was potentially going to be cut because that's a non-guaranteed deal. He's potentially going to be cut by the Philadelphia Eagles, and they had to give, a paltry sum in order to get him and then absorb that contract. Their eval has been, for the most part, been really good. Wide receiver is the one that they've struggled in terms of evaluation, both drafting and signing as a free agent. But you mentioned if you're trading Trey Flowers and what he would have made for Michael Bennett, what he's going to make in a non-guaranteed contract, it's not a crazy deal for the Pats. But I think this time of year is really, like, go ahead and look at what the New York Giants did. Olivier Vernon got traded today for offensive line help. And now, look, Vernon was signed by a previous staff, right? But Kevin Zeitler comes over. So it gives the New York Giants a guard. They've been in need of offensive line help forever. And Olivier Vernon, and they're also going to exchange draft picks way on down, like fourth round draft picks. But Vernon, they signed to a 5-year, $85 million contract 3 years ago. They way overpaid for him. 28 tackles for loss, 22 sacks. But considering for 3 years, it wasn't the type of production when they kind of reset the curve. And he was going to count $19.5 million against the books. And now by trading him, they save $11.5 million. So they're trying to get their cap in order. But they're also, like, this is kind of a theme here in the NFL, whereas guys that take up a huge cap number, part ways with them if you can, and get offensive line help. Spread that sucker around. So, and Cleveland, by the way, got, they have a nasty defensive line with Myles Garrett and Larry O there. So that's going to be. And also, the Nate Solder thing did not work out well. Will Hernandez was a good draft pick, and they had limited success there at times with Saquon Barkley. But it's interesting, the Giants have still not addressed the quarterback position. You would guess that's what the draft is going to be for. You would guess. But who knows? Or do they trade for Josh Rosen? Because now they become the potential destination for Josh Rosen, as the Washington Redskins are out on the Rosen thing with Case Keenum being their new quarterback. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. there are some realities to sports which people sometimes you have to get your head around. And I said this about Clay Travis offered up kind of the hypothetical, hey, why don't the Lakers trade LeBron James? And while as of right now, that wouldn't be, if you could trade LeBron James for Anthony Davis, that's great. But much like Antonio Brown, he ain't showing up. But you can't build your entire advertising campaign, season ticket base, sell advertisements on your own cable channel when you trade away LeBron James. It doesn't work. The realities of business, just like the realities of business are that they can't sit LeBron. I've heard people like Jay Williams suggest, hey, shut LeBron down for the year. Like the realities of business are you can't do that. You had people pay good money to come and see LeBron James. Your season ticket holders paid good money. They pay parking, they pay for their seat license, they pay for their seats because they want to see LeBron James. And if you take that away, it's like, man, really, we're going to show up to watch some G League dudes? Like, no, we've been doing that the past 5 years. We're not doing that now. So they're going to limit his minutes so that he'll play more games, shut him down on back-to-backs, which mostly they'll shut him down on whatever the road game is on a back-to-back, because more important about their season ticket base and more about their cable network than it is anything else. I mean, that's the kind of realities of business. And until you can wrap your head around, I've heard, you know, there's some discussion. Bill Simmons has kind of tried to start this. Hey, why don't we go to 70 games instead of 82 in the NBA? The reality is that even if the owners would make slightly less money, you have less inventory for your TV providers, for your TV partners. That's ESPN and TNT. They're fighting over fewer games. There's no chance that happens. Because the owners aren't giving back any of that money, and they're not paying you for less inventory. Like, those things don't work. And then you factor in that every one of these arenas, either the NBA team owns or they're the main tenant or one of the main tenants, who fills up those dates? Remember, cities oftentimes have huge tax loopholes for these arenas to get built and for teams to be there. The only qualifier for that is like, hey, you can't be giving us less dates. This is employment for all of our parking, all of our cops, all of our first responders, all of the different vendors, all of the restaurants. Like, this is just a reality of business that people are just trying to act like there's some fantasy world that you can, hey, you know, well, listen, some of these guys are tired. Let's have less games. That sounds great. But you're playing 82 games. You're not going to ever play less. That will never happen. You have a greater chance of there being 90 or 100 games as opposed to there being 70 games. I'd love to see baseball go to 154, but they're not doing that. How do you think those regional TV markets, regional TVs, you know, they're called RSN, regional sports networks. How do you think they make so much money? It's not on any one game. It's that, hey, we got 162 games on. 162. It's about volume. It's about the volume of live sporting events. So just the reality of LeBron, people saying they should shut him down completely. Like, they may at the very end of the year, but right now you can't because your TV, you know, your TV partners, TNT and ESPN, ABC, as well as your local, you know, cable RSN that in the Lakers case they own, and your season ticket holders paid money to see LeBron James play. Even if he's not playing great or playing 40 minutes, doesn't matter. Reality is, he's going to play. You can't shut him down full time.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Enes Kanter is going to join us in a second. And this is a well-traveled man. And a guy who obviously has been in the news a lot. You know, he's persona non grata back in Turkey. He's been an outspoken antagonist of the president of Turkey, but more than anything, like, now he's a member of the Portland Trailblazers, and for the most point, got a courtside seat to watch the Blazers. That was his first home game, I believe, with the Blazers. They lost in overtime to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Damian Lillard was unbelievable, 51 points, but so too was Russell Westbrook. And the Thunder came in and got a much, much needed victory. I mean, a huge, huge victory. So, and it's going to join us in a second. That was like a playoff caliber game is exactly what that one. That one felt like a there's a little bit of Nurkic got into it with first with Russell Westbrook, then with Paul George. And what I'm interested in, and here the Trailblazers are trying to get in that top four seed. Right now they're a half game behind the Houston Rockets. I'm interested in, like, look, those guys are your friends, right? The Oklahoma City Thunder guys, and he's even said the Oklahoma City guys are my friends, but now you're wearing a different jersey. And so, and granted, you can't come off the bench, but it's got to be weird to be on a new team. You're supposed to support your teammate, but you potential fights with your friends. Enes Kanter joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Like last night, like Nurkic first gets into it with Russ. Then he gets elbowed by Paul George. Then he gets his second tee and gets thrown out. What's that like for you to be, you're wearing a black Portland Trailblazer jersey, but the team wearing the blue is actually the guys you're closer to?
True. But, you know, now, of course, I mean, the blue jersey, the OKC Thunder people are my brothers, like my brothers. But now I'm wearing the black jersey, man, Portland Trailblazers. So whenever I'm out there, you know, I will do anything to support my teammates. So yesterday with Nurkic or, you know, the Dame or CJ, I mean, I'm part of the Trailblazers organization now. So I got to do to protect my teammates. So, but I think it was a very fun game. It was like a playoff game. And I think we can learn a lot from that game.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Enes Kanter. He joins us. That was weird. Like, I don't know if people saw it. At the end of regulation, okay, there was a foul call, but because there was a technical foul called on Nurkic, it was his second technical foul. He gets ejected from the game. Did you know the rule that Billy Donovan got to pick who shot the free throws?
Yes. I mean, we were talking to two of the guys, Scal and Zach Collins, like, hey, just make sure you guys get ready because they can pick you guys. They can pick one of you guys. And so they were getting, like, warm and ready on the sideline. And then they pick Scal, and, you know, he shot the free throws.
Yeah, and he ends up going and missing both free throws. But, like, were you doing a pick me? Yeah, any chance that you were trying to – were you trying to get Billy to pick you?
I was actually looking at their bench and just – because I know the guy. So I was looking at their bench and pointing at myself, pick me. And I wish they would have picked me.
What's it like to be on the opposite side of Russ – and what's it like to be on the, you know, Russ was your guy when you were there. What's it like to be on the opposite? Like, look, Dame was amazing. 51 points. You guys come up short. What's it like to be on the opposite side of that deal?
It's tough because, I mean, obviously the guarding pick and roll, especially on Russ, it's very difficult. And OKC, I mean, Steven Adams knows my game and everything. So I think, you know, they did a good job, but I think it's just almost impossible to stop Dame and CJ, man. Cause once they get going, it's like almost impossible to stop them.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You get bought out in New York, and when you're bought out, you can sign with anybody. Yeah. Why Portland?
Well, I mean, Portland was the team that offered the contract, my contract, 4 years ago, and Oklahoma City matched it. So when I got, you know, released by the Knicks, and the GM, Neil, texted me, and also, you know, Damian Lillard texted me. And when I saw Neil's text, I'm like, man, I got emotional. I'm like, man, he was the guy that offered my contract 4 years ago. So I felt like I need to owe him something back, you know. And then I had, like, lots of offers on the table, but I know how good of a group of people that they are on the court. And I didn't know they are that good of a group of people off the court. So I know they're a winning culture. And I know if I went to some other team, I know I was going to start and play right away and just, you know, get big numbers. But I think my thing was just go to a winning team. It doesn't matter how many minutes you play. It doesn't matter how many games you play or how much time on the court. I just wanted to go to a team that just wins and go to far from the playoffs. So that's why that was the reason I picked Portland, because of the winning culture.
Did the Lakers offer you?
Yes, we were in a talk with Lakers, yes.
So why not the Lakers? Because at the time, the Lakers still had a chance to make the playoffs. This is going back a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
I mean, outside, like, listen, you painted a very good picture, but you could have played with LeBron. Why not the Lakers?
Well, I mean, of course, everybody would love to play with LeBron. You know, obviously, he is like the probably the best still basketball player on planet. But I just because I had so much drama in New York, right? And I just wanted to go somewhere with drama free, to focus on basketball, focus on winning, focus on my teammates and the organization, and just go out there and just have fun. So that's why the reason I did not pick Lakers, because I just wanted to be drama free, because they already had lots of drama with New Orleans and AD and trade, no trade. So I was like, you know what, I just want to go somewhere there where I can just focus on basketball and just enjoy it. You know, that's why I picked the Blazers.
I
picked the Blazers.
You mentioned the drama in New York. Do the Knicks think they're getting KD and Kyrie?
Oh, well, tough question. Well, I don't – listen, man, I'm not at their front office, but I will tell you one thing, man. I know I had, like, a very hard time in New York, man, but I think, you know, for free agency, I will tell one thing for free agency about New York. It's an amazing organization. It's an amazing city, amazing crowd. And if you win in New York, you are like not just king of basketball, you're like king of America. So, I mean, I will tell one thing. Just if you are going to go to New York, feel free, feel comfortable to go there, because the good group of people, good coaching staff, good organization, good front office, and good city, man. There's an MSG, the most famous arena. So I will just tell them to just, yes, go ahead, go.
You mentioned getting to play with Dame and getting to play with CJ, and obviously you have a reputation as a tremendous offensive player, but you also have a reputation as somebody that guys want to go at when you're on defense. What's that like to know, like, as soon as you check into the game, like, they're coming right at you?
You know, the craziest thing that I never get a compliment from a coach that say, Ennis, good job on defense. And I'm like, whoa. So the first 2-3 games, and coach was saying, Ennis, good job. Just keep going on. Just keep defending. You're doing a good job. You're getting better. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's giving me so much confidence on defense. So I think with coach, with the coach we have, the coaching staff we have, and coach Terry we have, I just feel more comfortable, and I feel more confidence on defensive end. You know, because I know offense is going to come. The rebounds are going to come. I think right now for us to get the next level, especially with the second we're having, is defense. So I think, like, the coach complimented me on, like, the defense a few times. I'm like, whoa, that feels weird, because I never get that before. And then yesterday, you know, I just uploaded a couple shots. I'm like, the fans were going crazy. I'm like, this is fun, you know. Playing defense is fun, too. You know, of course, getting buckets and, you know, getting rebounds, double-doubles are fun. I'm like, blocking shots, everybody's up, crowd is going crazy. I'm like, oh, that feels weird.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, and I'm sure it's way more fun to know that you're going to play in the playoffs. You know, the question is, you know, what can you get home court advantage in the playoffs? Do you know all the plays yet? Like, do you know where you're supposed to be yet?
Actually, today we were talking to the coach. He's like, okay, we need to go run. You know, just we need, because yesterday was my first home game. It's crazy. It's my first home game. And then yesterday was my first practice at the practice facility. It's crazy, but because it just, the first day they throw out all the stats, all the plays in me, it was like smoke coming out of my ear. I was like going crazy. I was like, man, this is so hard. But I think now I'm just getting more comfortable and getting used to all the plays, all the stats. It's just all about, you know, just confidence. And then if you play with like players like Damian Lillard, you know, CJ McCollum. Well, I play CJ in the summertime a lot. Those are the players that, you know, make themselves better and make everybody else better around them. And that, I think that's what makes them really special. So I'm just getting more comfortable and gaining more confidence.
Yeah, I should put out, though, right, that, you know, you've been with the team only, you know, like a week, and you guys have lost 3 out of 4. I don't want to put it all on you because, you know, like the Toronto game you didn't play in, but maybe you could be the bad luck charm, Ennis. I don't know.
Hey, when I was in Portland, we only lost 2 games. And you know what? We're still trying to get used to each other, because Rodney just is the new, I am a new guy. you know, the we got a lot of the young guys and stuff. So I think, you know, once we get the chemistry right, I think we're going to really go far from the playoffs.
Last thing, Paul George tried to step to Nurkic. Russell Westbrook tried to step to Nurkic. Nurkic is a big dude. I need you to be honest with me. If those guys stepped to Nurkic, how would that have worked out for them?
Oh, man, I would not get even close to near Nurkic. He is probably the top two or top three strongest guy in the league.
Well, Steven Adams is right there, right? Like those two.
I was so excited about the matchup yesterday. Steven Adams going against Nurkic, because those are like the top three guys, strongest guy in the league. And I was super excited about it. And I think, you know what? They're having fun, especially Nurkic, man. He's been playing unbelievable offensively, defensively, and he's been playing at an all-star level.
He absolutely has. Hey, man, welcome to Portland. Can't wait to see you get more run. We appreciate you. You did go in full New York sale mode. I can't believe you just couldn't tell us. Like, are they walking around thinking they're getting KD and Kyrie? You're not going to give me anything on that?
Trust me, man. If I say something, everybody will go crazy. So I'm just keeping still. Months.
All right. Fair enough. Buy a raincoat while you're in Portland. It is a great city, but it does have a tendency to rain a bunch. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate it.
All right, that's Enes Kanter joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's quickly get you to Dan Beyer, find out what else is going on in the world of sports. Dan?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.